I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch here with my host, Taylor Phelps. And we've also got a special guest with us today who may be taking over the reins for Ryan Billups. His name is Jordan Davis, and we're going to really get in touch with him and see what's going on with him on Friday. We're just going to give him a little bit of a preview of the show today. We're also going to have Kevin Jeffries join us later in the show. First, let's talk about what's going to happen in today's show. So the past few days, the Clippers and Celtics have been discussing a huge trade. It's going to be DeAndre Jordan and a few draft picks for Kevin Garnett and, get this, Doc Rivers. Now, it's been reported on ESPN that this trade isn't going to happen, but let's just do a little what-if game. What if this trade had gone through? What if Doc Rivers had been traded from the Celtics to the Clippers? Now, let me give you a little bit of history here. This has never happened in the NBA. They've had one assistant coach sort of do a trade, a signing trade.
Definitely not a trade, just kind of getting rid of his contract so he could go take another job.
Yeah,
and we know, the Heat won the championship that year.
Yeah, that was Stan Van Gundy, who left the Heat as an assistant coach and became the Magic head coach in 2007. And he, when he did that, the Heat got two second-round picks from the Magic. I think it was the 07 and 08 second-round picks. So that's the entire history of this trade situation in the NBA. This has never happened before, a head coach being traded. But ESPN's reported that it's fallen through. So it looks like instead the Clippers are going to go with Lionel Hollins or one of two other coaches that they're interviewing right now.
Yes. Brian Shaw is, I think, one of them from
Brian
the Lakers.
Shaw.
A very good assistant coach that just hasn't gotten a break. And, you know, as we're talking about these NBA coaches, and as you said, it's happened in other sports, so why don't you go ahead and let them know.
Yeah, okay. We've got Ozzie Guillen, Lou Piniella, and Chuck Tanner were traded for players in the Major League Baseball. You should all know who Ozzie Guillen and Lou Piniella is.
And that's a very interesting thing to see. Yeah. What if that happened in the NBA? What if Doc Rivers was traded?
Just for players.
Just Doc Rivers for DeAndre Jordan. That'd be very interesting.
And then Jimmy Dykes and Joe Gordon, get this, were traded for each other. They're two Major League Baseball managers that were traded for each other. That's a pretty weird situation.
What animosity you would have towards the other team that you were playing them.
Yeah.
It would kind of be like both people are
both teams are just really mad at each other all the time. And then in the NFL, the Raiders' John Gruden was allowed to sign with the Bucks in 2001 in exchange for four draft picks and cash. Now we know, I don't know if it was that season or the season after that, that John Gruden won the Super Bowl with the Bucks against the Raiders. So that didn't turn out very well for them. And we've seen where the Raiders have gone after that. But then we've got Bill Belichick was hired as the Jets head coach in 2000 and quit after one day. And then he was a few weeks later signed by the Patriots to be their head coach. And the Patriots decided to do something for the Jets and gave them three picks and then got two picks from the Jets, a fifth and seventh rounder, not really important, from the Jets to the Patriots. And then in 1997, Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick were traded to the Jets from the Patriots. So a lot of trading back and forth history here. For four picks and $300,000 to a Patriots charity. That money didn't go to the Patriots. It went to one of their charities.
And we see how well this has all worked out for the Patriots and how terrible it's been for the Jets.
Yeah. So a lot of history of things not working out when they do this. With the Magic, they didn't win anything that year, and the Heat won a championship. Ozzie Guillen, Lou Piniella, and Chuck Tanner, they all flopped for their teams, especially Ozzie Guillen. He got fired after one season.
I don't see how it could be any beneficial for a team. A team that's willing to trade a player for a coach is in a position to win a championship. The team that's trading their coach is in such a position that they don't have the players to win a championship, much like the Celtics.
Yeah.
The Celtics have no real shot as far as Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo's a great player. He'll be coming back. But I just don't see them having the type of players post Kevin Garnett, now especially post Ray Allen and post Paul Pierce, to be able to compete unless they're picking up people in free agency. Yeah. And I don't see any people that really want to go play with Rajon Rondo. Not that he's not a great player. He's a fantastic point guard. But as far as players that are just jumping at the bit to go play with the Celtics, I don't see that happening. Mm. So you see that the Clippers are in a position to possibly win a championship, and they think Doc Rivers can get them over the hump.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting, situation. Whoever they go with, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I do think that this DeAndre Jordan for Kevin Garnett thing, I think that could have worked out really well.
And like we
teams.
Said, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And this is not going to happen at all. But like you said, I saw that as being a perfect trade. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Jordan, who's a player who I don't think you're going to win a championship with DeAndre Jordan, but you can certainly build around him as the Boston Celtics can. The Clippers need to win now. Mm-hmm. They need to ensure that they keep Chris Paul. They need to win now while they have the players that they do on the roster.
Yeah.
So I definitely see that a Kevin Garnett and Doc Rivers trade for DeAndre Jordan. And it was reported that they wanted Eric Bledsoe, too, and I think Eric Bledsoe was what stopped the trade.
Yeah, well, actually, ESPN's reporting that the Clippers and the Celtics backed away from the Bledsoe deal.
Bledsoe, okay.
And they said the Celtics said they wanted two first-round picks and DeAndre Jordan, not a first-round and a second-round, or even like a first-round and then a first-round like 5 years down the road. They wanted back-to-back first-round picks and DeAndre Jordan for Doc Rivers and Kevin
Garnett.
To me,
the Celtics should have done what it took to make this happen, because I see once Doc Rivers' contract's up, I don't think he's going to stay with the Celtics.
No,
he's not someone who wants to build a team. He's someone who now in his career wants to win right now.
Yeah.
So definitely I think the Celtics should have chomped a bit on this one and went with what they could get and got as much as they could, and instead I think they backed away late. Because I think the Clippers are the only ones that have something to really offer them.
Yes.
And you put Rajon Rondo and DeAndre Jordan, you teach them a little more fundamentals. There's plenty of great coaches out there. As we discussed, Brian Shaw's available. Lyon Hollins is available. Mm-hmm. Those are coaches who need jobs. And definitely someone, especially like a Brian Shaw, could come in and coach the Celtics and do a great job in rebuilding, because he really hasn't built himself a career as a head coach. And that's definitely a good spot for him to end up.
Right. Well, let's just do a what if. Do you think that this will ever happen, that a coach in the NBA will be traded for a player?
I think it could definitely happen, and especially now the door's been opened. Mm-hmm. I think people have, okay, now this is a possibility. I especially think one in particular is Mike D'Antoni with the Lakers.
Okay.
Just someone who doesn't fit but is a great coach. And definitely he could be traded. I could see him traded for another coach.
Yeah,
I could see him traded for just someone that has more of an up-tempo style, and the coach there is not an up-tempo style. You know, the Nets fit him the best. Point guards like Goran Dragic, point guards that are fast and up and down, and styles like that, even if he was traded somewhere like Orlando or someone where they're not very good, but his style can win there.
Yeah,
just because you score more points than the other team, you're going to win. Mm-hmm. And definitely, it just doesn't fit the Lakers, but the Lakers are a good team, and so I definitely see that being a possibility, someone like a D'Antoni traded, someone even, we go down the list, and it's reported earlier, this is kind of an article reported by Sean Hojanaki, just on the internet, on teams that need to trade their coaches, and Alvin Gentry was one with the Phoenix Suns, and Keith Smart was one with the Sacramento Kings and Lawrence Frank. Byron Scott's another one with Cleveland that I could definitely see.
Although
being
Byron
traded.
Scott, he's actually not with Cleveland.
Yeah, he's
anymore.
Not with Cleveland
and
anymore.
He's,
but
he's
at that time in January, he was a coach that I could have seen, and a very good coach, and a coach that could be with the Celtics. You know, there's
the
a lot
Clippers.
Of good coaches available, or the Clippers. Like
he's
you said.
Actually interviewing with the Clippers
right
interviewing.
Now. But I don't think he's gonna. I just see Lionel Hollins getting that job at this point.
Yeah, I do
Just because he's such a successful coach, you know, and he's played with bigs. He's played with Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. He knows how to coach those players. But, you know, we can talk all day about different coaches that are going to make different moves and who can fit where. But like you said, I definitely see this being something we're going to see happen.
Yeah, it may not be good.
Year or 2 years, and it may not work out best, but I think it will work out good for one team.
Yeah.
Definitely the team that gets the coach they're trading for.
Right. Well, let's do a little bit more controversy today, since that didn't really last us the full
And the king
segment.
Of controversy, I believe, is what we're coming up on next.
We're coming up on Tim Tebow. Now, he recently got signed by the Patriots. He made their training camp roster. That doesn't mean he's on the 83-man roster for the season yet, but he is on their training camp roster. Now, what do you think Tim Tebow's future is in the NFL?
I think this is a fantastic move for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Bill Belichick is, as we've seen, one of the magnificent coaches of taking players with talent and utilizing them. Mm-hmm. And that's what Tim Tebow needs. I think so many coaches were just like, well, we can use him in special packages, or let's just put him at fullback because he's big, or let's make him a... The worst thing the Jets did was destroy his confidence and destroy the team around him with his media presence. Belichick will hide that media presence. He'll keep him more intact as a team player, which Tebow is. The thing about Tebow, people get mad at him, he doesn't create the media presence around him.
Yeah.
We create that. He's a team player. And I think it was one of the greatest team players we've ever seen. And he's so unselfish almost that it brings more media attention to him because you're like, wow, how is this guy not, you know, more demanding, more wanting his own success? But I do think that Belichick will be able to utilize him possibly as a slot receiver, come in at halfback. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll be a quarterback that plays. I think he'll maybe be a third string quarterback, but I see him on the field, and that's the difference. The Jets really didn't know how to get him on the field. And as we saw in Denver, he's effective. He's a winner.
Yeah.
And if you give him the ball, he's going to do good things with the ball. I don't see him as a someone who's in the pocket passing. I don't see Brady going down and Tim Tebow stepping in and being this awesome quarterback. I don't think he'll be a quarterback in this league by any means. But I think he can have a very successful career with the Patriots. And I don't think the Patriots want him in that role. I don't think they want him as the quarterback of the future. I think definitely they want him as someone who's going to be productive for them and help them win Super Bowls. And that's what they've done with tons of players in the past. I think they can do the same thing with Tebow.
Right. And we've seen a lot of success with players like Danny Woodhead and other players like that.
Exactly.
Wes Welker, who was told that he was too short to play in the NFL, stuff like that. So I think there is a future maybe for
him. And like
we
were talking about the team, what we were talking about before the show, you know, what are they going to do with him? Are they going to use him as a third down back or a tight end? I don't really see tight end, but, you know, with Gronk being hurt and having this back surgeries and all the stupid stunts he pulls with going and dancing late at night and after Super Bowl losses and, you know, things that just kind of irritate people, he could definitely step in that role. The thing I don't know about Tebow is I don't know how well his hands are. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he catches well, and everybody keeps going, well, he could play tight end. Well, he could play slot receiver, as I just did. I just don't know how well he can catch.
Yeah.
But I know he can run well. And that's the one thing I know that nobody can take from him is I know you can give him the ball, and I know he can run the ball well.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a fullback banger either. I don't think you put him at fullback and just let him ram into people because I think that's not utilizing his talents
the way
you could. But who knows what Belichick's going to do? Who knows if he's going to hand the ball off to Tebow as a fullback and then he's going to run the option? I mean, you just don't know. There's so many things in football, so many schemes, and with a mind like Belichick's, he can do anything.
Right. Well, Jordan, let's get your opinion on this whole Tim Tebow thing. What do you think?
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be on the show. Honestly, Tim Tebow, to me, the man simply cannot throw. I mean, he beat my beloved Steelers in the playoffs in his only playoff win. He threw the most perfect ball.
With a great throw.
The most perfect pass Tim Tebow can ever throw. He throws it, and they win the game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they get drenched by the Patriots next round. But Tim Tebow is a leader, and the Patriots – they don't need a leader. They have plenty of leaders. But Tim Tebow can add something to that team to make them great. They're already good, but Tim Tebow can make them great.
He can take them to the next level, and you can utilize his talents. He has talents to utilize.
He just can't throw.
And just coaches have so – they harp so much that he can't throw that they don't see the bright spots in him and what he can do. So don't take a player and – degrade them and negate them for what they can't do. Take them and utilize their talents, and that's what Belichick is so good at doing, and that's why the Patriots have been so successful. And as we talk about NBA today too, that's what Popovich has been great at with the Spurs, is he takes players and doesn't harp on their weaknesses but uses their strengths.
Right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us in this first segment. We're going to take a break, and then as I said, Kevin's going to join us for the second segment today, where we're going to talk NBA playoffs, finals coming up tonight, Game 6, really important. We'll also talk the NBA draft if we have a little time left, and then we'll sum up the show and do a big segment, I think, on the Texas Rangers, who haven't really done what we'd like recently. But anyway, we'll be back in just a few moments. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
And I'm Jordan Davis.
This is KETR's Locker Room. Oh,
the host of Latin Soul, David Herbaz. Join me on Tuesday night for a show that will spice up your life with selections of jazz and soul and more in a Latin style. Latin Soul, Tuesday night at 9, only on 88.9 KETR.
This weekend, there's going to be a party.
I know you despise parties, but this one could change your life, Fred. All the top CEOs of the Fortune 500 will be there.
With bad jokes.
Did you hear about the married Amish woman who also had a lover she liked two men a night?
Shady characters.
What's your name?
They call me the Breakwind Kid.
This is your invitation to join in the fun.
A Prairie Home Companion, Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 5 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
All right, we're back here on KETR's Locker Room. We've got Kevin Jeffries joining us now. I'm Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, and Jordan Davis in here in the studio as well. All right, guys, we've got a huge Game 6 coming up tonight. It's Spurs versus Heat, if any of you have been living under a rock and haven't been paying attention to the NBA Finals.
Cooper's been loving it.
I've been loving it. Well, I've been alternating on loving it and hating it, depending on which game you're talking about.
Game by game, yes.
Game 2 and 4, I absolutely hated. Although I did get a good laugh out of LeBron's block of Thiago Splitter. I thought that was really funny. Especially because they updated his Wikipedia page to say that he died the second after that happened. Died from embarrassment.
But I mean,
so that
it's
was
Thiago
fun.
Splitter. Let's not get... This isn't blocking a major dunker here.
He doesn't care.
That's right.
But anyway, that's what's going on. Currently, the Spurs are up 3-2 on Miami. And they face them tonight, as I said, at 8 Central Time. If any... We may have a few listeners out there who aren't Central. I doubt it, but maybe. 8 p.m. Central on ABC. So
I like that, though, given the times in the Central as opposed to the Eastern times they always give everywhere else.
Oh, gets really confusing.
We've stopped you from having to do the math there, giving you the Central time.
So who do you guys got tonight? Who wins?
San Antonio, come on. Fingers crossed.
So.
Fingers crossed.
I really do. I really do think that San Antonio will win, and I have my reasons. First of all, I've saw what the Mavericks did in 2011, and I think we're in the same situation with the same type. It's not the exact same type of team.
Because Miami's better.
A very good coach, and Miami is definitely better than they were then. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see them playing at the level to be able to send this to a Game 7. And you got to realize these Spurs are playing like this is a Game 7. Because to them it is. This is the closeout. If it goes to 7, it's going to be very hard to beat a team at a Game 7, which has never been done in NBA Finals history. No team, no a visiting team has ever won the Game 7 in the Finals.
Okay.
Ever. Wow.
Ever.
I did not know that.
That's a good thing to know.
Yes.
Makes me really nervous now, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan, I heard you say Heat. Why do you have the Heat?
I have the Heat winning. I believe in LeBron James. Okay. I believe in Dwayne Wade. The thing about the Heat, they have an on and off switch. Mm-hmm. They'll play great one game. Like we saw in Game 4, they totally dominated San Antonio. Yeah. Athletically, they put on a show. And when LeBron James and Dwayne Wade are playing at a level where their back's against the wall, we see greatness. But they also have a switch where they'll go into the next game and won't do nothing they did in the win.
Which makes you so frustrated.
Yes.
I think you have a point on that on-off switch. The problem with Miami is sometimes the other team flips that switch.
Yes,
and that's what we've seen. San Antonio have the ability to come in. Miami may be on fire. San Antonio comes in, flips that switch off, and Miami just can't get it turned back on. And so they could be dangerous coming out of the gate tonight, but I think tonight's the test of basically a test of mental fortitude.
Right.
You talk about the stats have been fairly even, but some players up and down throughout the series. But you talk about, and it's not necessarily inexperience either for Miami. Of course, it's not inexperience, but it's a just kind of a mental fortitude. I mean, how do you lose a finals game by 30-something points?
And a big question is how Danny Green.
That's because you gave up at some point.
Yeah. And how is Danny Green going to play tonight, being a player who really hasn't played on this big of a stage. Now, he's played very well in the NBA Finals, but this is different. This is a closeout. This is for a ring.
And Bosch said that they aren't going to let him shoot a single three tonight. They said that that's going to be their entire defensive focus is shutting down Danny
they
Green.
They said that the whole series.
Yeah, they say that every game. It makes you so frustrating, as we talked about, with them being a team that can flip that switch. Mm-hmm. It makes you mad to say, why don't you play that way every game?
I say
you know,
that
if you're LeBron
time.
James and you're the greatest player in the world, and Dwayne Wade, you're equally a Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. why don't you play like that every game?
Well, and I wonder, too, if I think I have a lot more respect. I don't like the Miami Heat, okay? But I think I have a lot more respect for LeBron James than pretty much anybody else on the team. And I think in a lot of ways, LeBron, you know, maybe has been brought down, at least the way he act, coughing at Dirk during the finals and stuff like that. I blame more of that on Dwayne Wade. But it may be we're looking at the head coach right here. If LeBron James, I think he turns it on every game, but it's still a team game. One guy makes more difference in the NBA than in any other sport, but it's still a team game. And if somebody else goes, oh, man, we're going to lose. I mean, there's only so much LeBron can do. He's leading rebounds, leading points.
Everything.
He's out there. He's doing everything out there.
He does everything in the game. Everything in the game to win, he does, and he does it well.
I think Miami's problem, though, the main problem for Miami is they depend too much on LeBron James.
Yeah,
he does everything so well. It's like the other players, like, well, I really don't have to do nothing but just pass him the ball and rebound.
Through the regular season.
Yeah, well,
they can win without really having to do much.
Yeah, well, the Bulls had Jordan, too, and they still managed to shine in their perspective areas. Yeah.
But I
still
think Jordan had a different attitude than LeBron does.
Okay.
You know, Jordan's a killer. Kobe's a killer. LeBron's not that way.
Maybe a little too nice then? Maybe
because he cares about his image too much. LeBron always wants to be the good guy, you know.
He really does.
He wants to have all the plaques and plateaus, but he doesn't have the dog mentality to just kill your opponent because he's too nice of a guy. And I think that's a flaw.
You know, and I think that's a good point. A lot of people, maybe the ultimate example of that might be Tim Duncan. Yeah. Always a nice guy. But tell you what, Tim still getting the ring.
He gets the job done.
Yeah.
He's
so
undefeated.
So
and LeBron
far,
does too. It's the other guys. It's the other guys.
Yeah. So here's my next question. Who so far is the series MVP and the least valuable player of the series?
Yeah, the LVP.
The LVP. I like that. The LVP, I like it.
So, Kevin, let's go with you first. Who's your MVP and LVP?
I think, obviously, for both teams, it has to be LeBron James.
Okay.
For the rebounds, the points, the way he's been playing. Obviously, after that, I'd go Danny Green for San Antonio.
Definitely.
Well, you got Tony Parker up there doing his job, Tim Duncan, but Danny Green just coming out and playing lights out and kind of dagger in the back for the Miami Heat. And least valuable player for I'm not sure of San Antonio if they really have one at this point. And I want to say Dwayne Wade. He's put up points but hasn't done much defensively. But maybe I would more say the entire defensive effort from Miami Heat from
that's
the Miami Heat is the least valuable player on their team. And maybe the coach, man, just not keeping them in line, keeping them up.
Right.
I believe my MVP of the Spurs would definitely be Danny Green because he's a role player. He stepped up. And he's knocking those three downs. He broke Ray Allen's record of most threes in the finals.
Something ridiculous, like 70%.
And he's still got one more game.
And he still has one more game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just playing very good basketball. For the MVP for the Heat, of course, is LeBron James. I mean, he's game in, game out. If you look at the stats, I mean, the first game he had 18, 18, and 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can't really blame him. It's just late in the game, he just seems to, I don't know, he just forgets he's LeBron James and starts playing like Rashad Lewis. the LVP for me, it will have to be Mario Chalmers.
Okay.
I mean, the guy had a good game, too, and then after that, he just totally disappeared.
Had some good games against Indiana.
And he just hasn't showed up. Like, that's very inconsistent. You can't have that coming from your point guard. I mean, that's the leader of your team. But we all know LeBron is the point guard, shooting guard, and the forward for the Heat. But
he's everything.
I mean, if Mario Chalmers will actually step up and hit some good shots, not turn the ball over, the Heat has a good chance to win this game tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say MVP is obviously Danny Green, LeBron James. Least valuable player so far, I think Manu Ginobili has been. He had a very good game last game, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But overall series hasn't really shown up. I think one game he had 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big three. This is supposedly a big three. Chris Bosh would be an LVP only because of Eric Spoelstra, because he doesn't utilize him the correct way that he needs to be. You see, when Chris Bosh is in the post, he's very effective, but when he's out on the perimeter, he might as well not even be on the floor.
Right. I'm going to have to say for me, MVPs, I think unanimous, Danny Green, LeBron James. I think, like Jordan said, Mario Chalmers, but I think really just the point guard play in general for the Heat. Both the starter and the backup for the Heat have been very inconsistent in their play. And, you know, I don't know who's the least valuable player for the Spurs. I think Manu could be that, although he's trying. Like, you don't see the lack of effort
from
him.
And he stepped up huge.
Yeah. He got a little redemption, yeah.
The start really helped his confidence, I believe.
But I would have to say, I don't know. I think maybe Tracy McGrady, since he's
actually played pretty well.
Yeah. But he hasn't
actually played pretty well when he's in.
He hasn't scored a point yet, though.
But he's got some assists and rebounds.
Yeah.
So that last
but
game,
he has,
blowout game.
But he has 0 points on, I think, 0-6 shooting. So
maybe he's trying to get his shots
up. He never been out the first round. You have to remember that. So
I'm just reaching at this point. And I love Tracy McGrady. I love that we signed him. I think it's a lot of fun. But I'm totally reaching at this point. So I just wanted to throw it out there. I just wanted to mention Tracy McGrady. Anyway, so if the Heat lose tonight or Game 7, is this the end of their big three?
I definitely think it is. And I can't believe I'm saying that. You know, only 3 years removed from the whole signing and the parade and all
the
theatrics.
Three, not four.
And apparently they're going to win 7 championships. Yeah. But, you know, it's just looking that way. It's looking like Pat Riley... I know he has that demeanor where you can't really tell what he's thinking, but when they show him in the stands, it always looks like he's not happy. Like he's not happy with the way they're performing.
That man's never been happy.
And he's never been happy, definitely. But you can tell just them not winning multiple championships is not getting it done. And I definitely see probably Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade. Obviously, LeBron, do whatever you can to keep him. Mm-hmm. But the other two... they're up for grabs.
I don't know. I think Riley just comes in and starts coaching.
I think it might happen too, and that's what he might should be doing.
Yeah.
If he would have done that earlier, they probably could have two in a row right now because they've been to the finals 3 years since they got together. It's clearly they gel on the court, but it just seems like the times you need them to step up, because need I remind you, they all get paid over $100 million. Mm. Chris Bosh is getting $111 million, and he's playing like he should get paid the veteran minimum.
Yeah.
He's playing like Juwan Howard out there. So, I mean, this is a valuable lesson to all kids and people who's life lessons that money cannot buy championships.
That's true.
Yeah. And become friends with LeBron James if you can.
Yeah. You know?
That's true.
Because at the end of the day, LeBron's making the most money.
He'll bring you along for the ride.
He will.
Well, here's another question for you guys. If the Heat lose and if the Big Three is over, do you think LeBron stays with the Heat? You think he goes to the Lakers? You think he goes to the Cavs, the Mavericks? What?
I honestly think that after next year, whatever happens, I think he goes back to Cleveland.
Okay.
I think there's...
putting it in right now?
Just redemption. Yeah, I'm going to put it in right now and say that they
That's got to be your shock value call, man. There's no way that's happening.
I mean, with Kyrie there, with the people they have in place, they can get
First
round pick this year. I think he really has a chance for redemption there, and I think he sees maybe they can be good. It all depends on how Kyrie does the next 2 years.
That's true.
Or the next year, because Kyrie's very up and coming, but we'll just have to see what happens. Especially if they boost their way into the playoffs, maybe a 6 or 7 seed. You had LeBron James, pretty much going to be a 1 or 2 seed, so they'd be a much better team.
But Mike Brown, I mean, if you want to bring LeBron back, you bring Phil Jackson up there, or
you'll need a coach because
the owner Dan Gilbert, the way that relationship ended, I don't think LeBron would go back to that so quickly because the man said we'll win a ring before you will.
But as you said though, LeBron is a people pleaser.
He is.
And that's why he's going to stay in Miami. He's going to be the Miami Heat because he already made the Cleveland people mad, and now he would make the Miami people mad, and they'd make everybody else across the country go, oh, now you just went off and you can't even make up your mind and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The greats stayed with their teams and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I think that LeBron's going to stay. Some people are going to get moved. One of the big three is going to move, and they're going to bring in another piece, such as somebody like a Andre Iguodala, who didn't cash in with his contract and try.
I think they really need a point guard. As good as LeBron is, I think someone else to kind of facilitate and not have the responsibility of scoring, like kind of a Chris Paul type guy who does score, but it's usually late fourth quarter. Chris Paul's there; he can just distribute, doesn't have to worry about scoring. LeBron is always worried about, I got to score, I got to distribute, I got to rebound. He has to do everything.
Yeah. And Chris Paul speaking of that, is a free agent before LeBron and Wade and Bosch would be. Yes. So that's a huge opportunity for them.
And he has reported that he wants to play with Dwight Howard also. Mm-hmm. So you know he wants to play with a big-name player, you know, like a Dwight Howard, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony type mm-hmm. like that.
I think the Heat need to get a big man before they get a point guard, because in all their games, they're losing the rebounding battle. They're the last place in the NBA in rebounds. Mm-hmm. So I figure a guy, you know, he hasn't been a big name. Like Greg Oden, you know, he's out there.
Yeah.
And if he stays healthy. Even a DeAndre Jordan, like they were talking about.
Yeah, you know, even a DeAndre. Somebody would have a big man down there so LeBron doesn't have to play all those positions throughout the game. Mm-hmm. And he can just be LeBron.
Yeah, that'd make a huge difference, them having a little bit more defensive presence on the court, because – I mean, they play in the air. You just need some guy to chunk it up in the air to LeBron James. And if he doesn't happen to slam dunk into somebody else, to pick it back up and throw it back out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually, back when the whole Dwight Howard Magic thing was going on, the number one trade that was talked about was straight up Dwight Howard for Chris Bosh. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been a revelation in Miami. I think Dwight Howard and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
That would have been cheating.
It'd be video game numbers right there.
It would definitely be ridiculous. Right. I'm pretty sure David Stern might have stepped in and used his power there to stop
that. He did that when they tried to put Kobe and Chris Paul together.
That's true.
And that would have been cheating too. So he's like, you know what? Enough is enough. Mm-hmm. You have to be reasonable in it.
Well, how about the Spurs big three? Whether they win or lose, is it the end of them?
Totally.
Do you think Tim Duncan's gone? Yeah. Tony, whatever?
Yep.
Okay.
But it's not, I don't think, a matter of any sort of controversy. I think it's just, you know, it's time.
It's no controversy at all.
Yeah.
And I guess, are we saying that Tim Duncan's going to retire? Are we saying...
That's what I'm saying.
Tim Duncan is not going to leave the Spurs.
No, I don't think any of them will leave. So you think, if, no matter what happens this year, this is it for Tim Duncan.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is his last.
Yeah, I could see him, if they win, for sure he retires. If they lose, I could see him doing another year, just like, hey, you know, I got a new year on my contract, because he's got two more years left.
Yeah, he signed a 3-year deal. Yeah. So
I don't know what's in his head or what he'll do, but I don't see this team being, it will not be disrupted at all by management or anything. Mm-hmm. They'll definitely finish the
I think it depends on how Tim's knees feel at the end of
the game. He might finish that last game and be like, you know what, it might not be so bad to step away.
Yeah. And Ginobili's 35, but he looks 50.
So are the Spurs a dynasty, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Definitely. I'm going to always say the Spurs are a dynasty.
And we talked about this before the show.
Yeah,
they are a dynasty because they drafted a big man, Tim Duncan, first overall, and they built around him. You know, the Spurs always in the draft pick somebody you never heard of. You know, they got Ginobili in the second round. They got Parker late first. So they built their team around those three main players, and they won, four championships?
Yeah.
So, I mean, a dynasty to me is the people that you bring in the program, you build around, you got them to commit to your system, and they win. And that's all Pop does.
Although I might call them more of a juggernaut than a dynasty. I mean, it's when you're comparing to something like the Lakers, who, you know, over the same time period and when the Spurs were getting good and the Lakers won a lot more championships. Yeah. Definite dynasty over at the Lakers. And then to compare those two, while San Antonio may be the closest team to compare, I don't think they're really on the same level. So I think I would prefer to call them juggernaut. Besides, it's a better word anyway.
Well, as a Spurs fan, I'm just going to give you some numbers. Over the past 10 years, they've had the highest winning percentage of any professional team in any level. They've had the highest winning percentage. Over the last 13 years, they've had the most consecutive 50-plus win seasons. They've had the most championships over the last 10 years.
Okay.
And just a lot of numbers like that. Now, me and Taylor
were talking
about
being
this.
A dynasty, and I'll go ahead and step in and take it. My thing about being a dynasty is it's all about championships. Mm. And while I can say the Spurs might be one of the greatest, or definitely one of the greatest franchises of all time, especially in the last 15 years, as you just told us those numbers, the only teams that have really been the best team, without a doubt,
untouchable,
is the Celtics back with Bill Russell, which won 11 championships, and the Chicago Bulls in an 8-year span winning 6 championships. Mm-hmm. And in those 6 championships, they never went to a finals game 7. That's how dominant they were. So I think that those two teams are the only ones that can compete in it and be called a dynasty.
Right.
Because even the Lakers of the past 10 years from 2000-2010 won 5 championships. Mm-hmm. They won half of the championships in those years. But I don't consider them a dynasty, as they had different players. And though Kobe was there, it was just Kobe. Kobe was the only consistent player besides Derek Fisher. Right. So I definitely think that while the Spurs are an elite team, it takes a lot to be a dynasty.
And I think you bring up a point having the same group of guys, too. You're looking at a specific time frame, too. So looking at these stats over the last 10 years with a lot of the same players, I think that is a good point to bring up. It's the same people. Because if you go in all time, like the Lakers are the greatest NBA franchise there is.
Oh, yeah.
Most championships and everything else.
The Celtics, although they're taking six of them from the Minneapolis Lakers.
I think the Celtics have the most.
Well, yes. But
Celtics have like 17 championships.
Do they? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but the Lakers are right there.
The Lakers have 16.
I think the Celtics had a lot back, and it was
a
while
like
back.
With Bill Russell.
Because I was thinking that San Antonio rivaled over the past 20 or 25 years what the Lakers had had, and they didn't. When you look at with Magic Johnson and then coming back into the Kobe and Shaq area and stuff, it was just ridiculous.
And, of course, the Spurs were an ABA team, so they were an expansion.
The only ABA team that has won a championship.
And I believe they got in over Will Ferrell's team.
They got in over the tropics.
Even though they lost the whatever bowl.
The Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm just glad there was not a Jackie Moon in the NBA.
Right.
Yeah,
Mark Cuban's enough.
Yeah. Well, let's finish up this with just talking about the NBA draft. It's coming up on June 27th. Now, we already mentioned the draft with the Cleveland Cavaliers getting the first overall pick. They could go Nerlens Noel or Trey Burke, whoever they need. I don't think they need Trey Burke.
They're looking more at big men.
Yeah, they're going to go Nerlens.
They already have Kyrie, so they're looking at some big men.
But let's get some Dallas love in here. What do you think the Mavs are going to do? Are they going
to definitely have to talk Dallas just because it's been so disappointing this year not making the playoffs.
So are they going to trade? Are they going to keep their pick and get a point guard? What are they going to do?
I think they go after Trey Burke.
Okay.
I really honestly do. I think they need a player in that system other than Dirk that's going to step up. I mean, Jason Terry is not there no more, so Dirk needs another person besides OJ. Because OJ is very inconsistent.
And he's free agent.
Yeah, he's a free agent. You know how OJ is. Show me the money or I leave. Mm-hmm. So I honestly think they're going to get two guys that they're looking at. Trey Burke, of course, from Michigan. Mm-hmm. And the guy I was talking to about Taylor earlier before the show, CJ McCollum.
From Lehigh.
The guy led NCAA in scoring 25 points a game for the past two seasons. And against Duke, I believe 2 years ago, he put on an amazing
show.
He's
like a Damian Lillard, like we were talking about. Yeah. Somebody came out of a smaller school, Lehigh, and could just make some noise. He could be just like Damian Lillard. We never know. And like you were saying, the point guards is a big point, as Dallas doesn't really have one. Collison did okay, but he's more of a backup.
Yeah.
And there's three quality ones here that are all sitting at 7, 8, and 9 right now, and Trey Burke, Michael Carter Williams from Syracuse, who's a pretty big guard, and CJ McCollum. If you don't get any of those three, I really don't know. I really don't know. So I think you do want to trade up, maybe a sign and trade with Mayo, something like that, to kind of move up.
Well, let's do a what if here. If all three of those point guards you mentioned are gone, do the Mavericks just trade their pick away and stay out of the draft?
I stay in the draft because I think you got to have some young players. I mean, I think the only ones we have under contract right now are Vince Carter, Sean Marion, and Turk Nowitzki, who are all over 35 years old.
Yeah,
or
the rest of them are 1 year contracts.
Yeah, and I think even OJ Mayo can opt out of his.
Yeah,
or something
he's going to be a free agent. He already said he's opting out.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So like you said, show me the money or leave.
Now he said he'd give the Mavericks a discount, but he's saying, I'm going to be a free agent.
Yeah, he definitely wants to shop around, see what he's worth. But the guy I like, and the only reason I like him is because the Mavericks have Dirk, is Olynyk. Olynyk from
Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Who is a 7-foot player, just like
Dirk. A
little
disappointing in the playoffs, though.
Very disappointing in the NCAA tournament. But Dirk, when he started off and coming into the NBA, was not a player who people thought could do anything.
Yeah, I mean, we traded, who was it, Trash Can something for him?
Robert Traylor. We traded Robert Traylor.
Trailer Trash, that's what it is.
For Dirk to Minnesota. And look how that turned out.
What a nickname.
He wasn't very good, but
I grew up with some guys that could have had that nickname. Probably would have fit better.
You earned that nickname.
Oh, man. Well, last question about the draft. Do you guys think this is a weak or a strong draft?
I don't think it's a strong draft, in such as the draft that like LeBron and Carmelo and D-Way or whoever was in that draft. I remember there's a ridiculous draft then. But I do think it's a underrated draft. I think that a lot of these players are going to surprise people once they get into the league.
Right.
I don't think it's a weak draft. I think it's a deep draft. Because a lot of these players that's in the draft, these are players that you can put on a team with veterans, with the right veterans, with the right coaches, and they can help the team win right away. Because,
right.
I mean, like the dude from Syracuse, like that's a 6'9 point guard. That's long, fast, quick.
6'9 point guard.
I mean, he's 6'9. Mm-hmm. I mean, 6'9 on any given day.
Yeah.
That's a good height to be at your point guard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have a lot of players in there that can really help the team out.
All right. Kevin?
I haven't been paying much attention to the NBA draft at all. The only draft I really get up for is the NFL draft, but there's a lot more glitz and glamour.
Which has now been moved to May.
Yeah.
By the way.
Moved it to May.
Really?
To May.
First, they moved it to Thursday so I could no longer go to the draft day parties. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to move it to May. God. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, they've gone too far.
You can blame Roger Goodell for that.
Yeah. Yes,
oh my God.
I do.
Another thing that Roger Goodell is going to be playing for.
Deservedly so.
Right. Well, let's sum up the show with the Texas Rangers. Now, they are horrible over the past 10 games. They are 3-7. But they did win last night against Oakland to end their 6-game losing streak. So what's going on here with the Rangers? What's happening?
The biggest thing I get ticked off at is the Ron Washington pointing the finger at him all the time, and someone who's got them to 2 World Series mm-hmm. better than they've ever done,
yeah.
and they're better than they've ever been, but uh-huh. people still feel entitled to something like,
baseball
we're the Texas Rangers, and we're supposed to be awesome. Just
all of a sudden, they got that Dallas Cowboys entitlement from the fans.
Yeah.
It's
yes,
like,
exactly.
This is the Rangers, man.
Yeah.
It's the Rangers.
And
if they almost make the playoffs, you should be jumping for joy.
And those stands used to be empty.
Yeah.
And now they're full, and they feel like they're, like you said, entitled to something. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But we're baseball town USA now, didn't
it's
you
almost
hear?
Like they, it's almost like Rangers fans, and I'm saying this as a Rangers fan,
yeah.
but it's like they get so worked up about things that don't need to be worked up about. Ron Washington is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Profar, whether he plays or not, is not the issue. Like, what we need to be doing with Profar is not the issue.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the winning games. Now, that's all good to talk about and mm-hmm. good management discussion, but it's not the problem.
One player's not going to change the whole
thing. Yeah, and that's what people think it is, and it's mm-hmm. not.
I honestly believe that the Rangers are going through what my team went through. The Red Sox went through a phase like this.
Last year.
We was feeling ourselves, then we sucked. And I think the Rangers are, you know, kind of dipping down to reality. I mean,
right.
2 straight World Series, that boosts anybody's confidence up.
Definitely.
But Josh Hamilton's not there no more. You know, mm-hmm. some more players, was it Michael Young?
He's
not there no more, so they lost a little leadership. I mean, mm-hmm. I think they're looking for some leadership here.
Well, and I think people got a little excited when we lost all those players and then came in and were doing very good.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like,
great.
Oh, they made all the perfect decisions. And then you go into a little slump and they're like, oh, kill Ron Washington.
Off his head.
I was like, kill him. He's just crazy. What was he thinking? And I go, and I mentioned it. We talk about the entitlement of Dallas Cowboys fans in the Dallas area. You may have a lot of people who never paid attention to baseball, maybe because the Rangers weren't very, very, very good or
exactly.
just weren't particularly. And now maybe they're Johnny come lately, bandwagoning. Or like me, I didn't pay that. I played baseball as a kid, but didn't pay much of attention to it because I was always a hometown team.
Hometown team guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hometown guy. And since my teams were not good, I didn't pay that much attention.
Yeah.
And then they got better, and you know, and I still kind of paid attention. But you have a lot of people who are probably used to football, and so they watch one game. They're like, oh, it's a game. It's Friday night. They watch a game and they lose, and they're like, no!
Yeah, exactly.
We lost again.
Let's realize this is a 160 game season.
Yeah.
We're not even halfway through yet.
That's like losing the first 3 minutes of a football game.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
If we were to do a football comparison just for the season, we're like, what, 5-3 right now? Maybe.
Yeah, about like
that. I'll give y'all 5.
Because we're not even halfway there yet.
Yeah.
So let's tap the brakes, Rangers fans.
And we said that before we ever started talking baseball on this show. We said, this is going to be a season of ups and downs, as mm-hmm. it always is in baseball. We know halfway through the year we're going to be talking about this and going, what's happened to the Rangers?
Although Although, if you've been watching the games, the commercials they have, what did you do for the Rangers? And I have some guys like, they were doing the wave through the sands. And I looked at my son, and we broke that wave, and the Rangers won. And they're like, what have you done for the Rangers? My friend calls me last night and said, are you watching this game? We were down. Then we were out. We were down. I said, I've been watching the last four or five games, man. We've been losing. I'm not watching tonight. Apparently, what I did for the Rangers to win was not watch last night. And I regret it. It was a great game.
Well, I'm going to just put some numbers out there for the Rangers. Their runs scored, batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage have all dropped down to the mid-range to bottom range of the Major League Baseball, which is what it was when we started winning. That's not the biggest surprise. But pitching has also really hurt the past few weeks. We went from top three in ERA to 10th. Wow. We went from top five in quality starts to 16th.
Ouch.
12th now in walks and hits per inning when we were second or third. Earlier in the season. There we go. And we've been really good in batting average against. We've been top three there, and we are now 11th.
Well, that's the problem. Like, you just named the problem.
Baseball is the ultimate statistic game, and you can almost tell everything just by looking at the stats.
Mm-hmm. I've had friends call it's a newspaper sport, where the next day you look in the newspaper and check out all the stats. Yeah.
But, I mean, pitching has been their main problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't Darvish had like a hot streak? What happened to him?
Like we said before, pitching was winning them games, and now we see the deficiencies.
Every time I watch SportsCenter, I see the Rangers – pitchers just getting home run after home run. Yep, and I'm God, can they not contact?
But they can't get any run support either. I think it was kind of a perfect storm of horribleness coming down upon the Texas Rangers. You know, it's not like they were losing by one run.
Yeah,
you know,
Toronto beat them 9-0. Was it Friday night?
Yeah. They had three games where they beat them like 8-1 or whatever. Yeah. It was bad.
It's a slump. We'll see how long it takes to dig them.
You know,
dig
out. That Texas weather's starting to kick in. You know, it's a little bit too hot.
And I'm actually worried about that. If the problem is we're getting into summer, we're screwed, guys. Well, this is a Texas team.
If heat is the problem, it's over. He might as
well. Well, let's do some good news. Let's give some heart to the Rangers fans. We got some news on Colby Lewis. He should be back now by mid-July. I know we heard that he was going to be back at the end of June. It looks like it's going to be mid-July. Alexi Ogando should return to the starting rotation permanently, barring another injury, next weekend, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. So this isn't just us talking. We've got a reputable sports agency telling
us
this.
All right, good.
And then another report from the Telegram, Jeff Baker, who's having an amazing season, 9 home runs, over 300 ERA, hitting average.
Yeah.
Just great season for that guy. He should be back tomorrow. And then Neftali Feliz, who everyone's calling for, he will be back by mid-August at the latest. And then some other good news. We've got some new plans for Profar. It looks like he is not going back down to the minor leagues because everyone's calling for him to stay up, be effective, be used. He is going out to left field, and he should be permanently in the left field starting position in 7-10 games. So that's
good news.
I'm good with that. That looked like the obvious replacement to me at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see him start at the beginning of the season, and I was like, well, who are you going to replace? You know, and you look around and you go, well,
nobody.
I like you, David Murphy, but.
Well, and David Murphy.
I want Profi.
David Murphar is in center usually.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's Leonis Martin and one other player that's been switching back and forth on center field, on left field, excuse me.
No, I definitely think Profar is the right choice to go with.
But is this kind of wasting his talents, though? Because he is amazing infield player. Like, he's rated as one of the best infield prospects.
There we go. Trade Kinsler.
Right. Or move him out to outfield.
It seems like
probably get better value trading him.
You could probably trade him, for a lot better value.
The Rangers, though, it seems like they have a bright, you know, future ahead of them. You know, they just got a couple of injuries. You know, they're just like any other team, you know.
Yeah.
Baseball is a long season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, some of the guys they probably playing, you know, not used to playing in the majors, you know. Probably not that good of players to win on a day-to-day basis, but it looked like the pieces coming back, and, you know, I'll give the Rangers about, you know, another month, and they'll be right back to winning, you know, slugging the ball like they usually do. Right.
You know what we may need? Some sort of crazy ownership controversy. Because we had some when Nolan Ryan bought the team and his guys. We mm-hmm. went to the World Series. Yeah. At the beginning of the season, it was all, Nolan Ryan's leaving. He's going to the Astros. Yeah. We're kicking butt. We need somebody to try to buy the team. Yeah. That's what's happening.
That's what we need. Mark Cuban. Where's
yeah.
he at?
Come on, Mark. You can do it.
And don't put it past him.
Right, yeah. Mark Cuban would do it.
I would not be surprised if he tried to.
Well, let's end the show today just with somebody for Rangers fans to dream about. Mark Scherzer is now 10-0 with a 3.08 ERA and at least 6 strikeouts in his first 14 starts. Now, for those of you who aren't big baseball fans, Mark Scherzer is the first pitcher since Roger Clemens in 1997 to go at least 10-0 when Clemens won his first 11 for Toronto. He pitched for the Blue Jays. If a lot of people know him for the Rangers, not the Rangers, the Yankees, excuse me. But this is a huge deal for Scherzer. And then even bigger, he's the first Tigers pitcher to do this in 104 years.
Gosh.
So for the Tigers, this is great. And they've got, already got great pitching in
Verlander.
What's his name? Yeah, Verlander and several other starting pitchers. So that's somebody to dream about.
Yeah.
And I mentioned his strikeouts because he's also the first pitcher since Pedro Martinez in 2001 for Boston, who has had 6 strikeouts in his first 14 starts. Now, Yu Darvish hasn't reached 14 starts yet, and he's also had a little bit of a slump recently, but Yu Darvish is still leading the league in strikeouts.
Nice. So, yeah.
He could be the first pitcher since Pedro Martinez in 2001 to get 300 strikeouts in a year. So just some stuff to talk about, think about.
That's a good look for Detroit because other than the Tigers,
the Pistons, the Lions, Red Wings.
Well, the Lions got Reggie Bush.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
the Red Wings made the playoffs.
We'll see how they do. Still need an offensive line.
Yeah. Still need more than one player.
And Reggie Bush is
the Lions. I don't know if Reggie Bush is there.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's going to about do it for us on this show. We'll be back on Friday. Jordan's going to be with us permanently, unless something happens. We can't predict the future. But I think he'll be here as long as he can be. And we'll see what happens. We'll be very glad to get a show to you on Friday. But this is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
Jordan Davis.
And Kevin Jeffries.
We'll see you on Friday, folks. We'll be right back.